I'm Kristen Shelvin, and this is the Mostly Mom Podcast. While my days are filled with many roles and responsibilities, Mostly Mom is my favorite title. I think normal, ordinary moms have good, meaningful stories and histories, but they don't always get to share them. I'm taking some time to sit down with a fellow mom to discuss the good and the hard, the joy and the sorrow, what we're facing in our current season of motherhood, and lessons we've learned along the way. I hope you are encouraged, challenged, and inspired by these conversations. Here we are.
Yay.
I am excited that my friends said yes to chatting with me today. I just want to introduce everybody listening to Angela, Debbie, and Hillary. And normally the way I start all these podcasts is I've asked my guests to share their story, and then that kind of takes us through a lot of topics. And I have a whole list of questions that I love to ask people, and sometimes we get to it just through them telling their story, and sometimes we get to it after. I know today there's some specific questions around Mother's Day and community and friendship that I wanted to tackle. So we don't have a full hour for each of us to talk about our story, but I would love for each of you to just introduce yourself and share a little bit about who you are and what you do and what season of motherhood you're in right now. We'll go in alphabetical order.
That's good.
That means Angela's first.
Hi. I work part-time. I'm a dental hygienist 2.5 days a week, and I love that. God was so strategic in leading me into something where I could be a really great mom and have a break and love what I do. So I'm super grateful that I love what I do. And I feel like I had no idea how much I'd be able to relate to people in such a deep way because they have to trust me by opening their mouth. Just that simple fact is really, really deep. So I get to pray with people and share their life, and it's just super meaningful work. I have 2 kids, 10 and just turned 13. Thankfully, my 13-year-old is amazing, and I think he could raise himself pretty much. He's so great. They're both great. I love being a mom. I honestly am so grateful that I get to be a mom of both a boy and a girl. Kristen, I know you have all girls, but just seeing how a boy comes out so different is so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And also, they need each other, my son and my daughter, yeah. To be the people that God made them to be. So I love that so much. I've been married 20 years, and Tony is just a steady Eddie, and he's a huge blessing. Yeah. So this season for me is pretty sweet. It is a lot of in the car in seasons, but they're pretty independent at home, and so I feel like I get to have some me time, and I get to do things that fill me up and bring me joy without it taking away from my time with them. So it's a good season right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. Debbie's next.
So I have 5 kids, and I'm a personal trainer. My kids range from 19 to 8. I have 4 boys and 1 girl, and the girl is very different from the boys, as you mentioned, and her name is Grace, and she brings a lot of grace to our household.
Yeah.
And so that is good. Perhaps that the boys didn't know they needed. Through refinement sometimes, but I've been doing personal training for 3 years, and I've always loved exercise. A little bit like what you said, Angela, I love that it's a one-on-one moment with people. I say moment, it's usually an hour, and I really love getting to know people. And there's something really beautiful about being a person that they are talking to about maybe physical vulnerability, but it often leads to just more openness to conversation, and I really like that. My husband he does business. He's got a very entrepreneurial mind. We have moved a number of times with his work, so I feel like that will come up with community when we talk about that, but that's mostly me. Yeah.
Thanks, Debbie.
Awesome. My name is Hillary, and let's see, where to begin? Let's start with my husband. I married my husband, Justin, around 25 years ago. It's really hard for me to remember dates, so I kind of round. So I'm going to say right around 25 years ago. And he's the best. He is such a blessing, and he, like your husband, Tony, he levels me out, and I have lots of ups and downs. He calls me his ready, fire, aim girl, and it is so true. I really am. I like to jump into things, and he sometimes helps me with consequences and bails me out and just helps me with the emotional ups and downs that I go through as well. I love Montana, and the Montana winters are pretty rough for me. So he is just an amazing support, and he picks up a lot of slack with our girls and their homework and making sure that they're not spending too much time on screens. So I can't say enough about him and just how blessed I am, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. We have two amazing daughters together. And we have a really large family in heaven.
Yeah, you do.
Really, really large. And my girls are amazing. They really are. I know most parents think that their children are amazing. But the children God allowed us to have really are uniquely gifted. And it's been a joy to be their mom. And that is what I am most grateful for, that God has blessed me with a sweet family, and that sweet family really is my community and my rock and my focus. I'm very family-oriented, and I look forward to sharing more about that as we get into the podcast.
Thanks, Hillary. I will introduce myself a little bit, too. I actually haven't talked about myself much on the podcast, but just for the sake of our conversation today. I'm Kristen. I've been married to Logan for 20 years. He is also Mr. Steady level. I had someone name some things in me in the last year, and I was like, oh, I don't know if that's true. And then I realized, no, it is true. And I can be some of those creative things and some of those visionary things, because there's also this part in our home that is steady and stable. And so I can do things like this podcast, because I have someone who says, sure, go for it. And he has done all the audio, helps a lot with the editing. And so I'm thankful for his help just with this little venture. I work part-time in the architecture and interior design world, doing residential design. And I love what I get to do. I think I'm good at what I get to do, but it's a very introverted job. And so part of what this podcast came from is that desire to have more community and have more conversation with the women in my life that I already know, and then new women that I'm meeting through these conversations. If I didn't work in the industry, I'm sure that I would be busy creating someplace else, whether that was like refinishing furniture or gardening or in my kitchen or doing something in my home, some project in my home. I have three girls who are wildly different. I joke, I don't know how three kids from the same DNA pool could be so different, but they are wildly different. And that has been super challenging and also super rewarding to think through, okay, I can't do the same thing with you that I did with your big sister. And I have to look at you as a different person. And what do you need that might be different? And how do I parent you differently? And so that's what I wanted to talk about today, specifically around motherhood and especially Mother's Day coming up. Like, how do we as women celebrate each other? How do we celebrate friendship? Friendship looks different. Community looks different, especially, I think, as women in our 40s who are in a different, we're all in the same season of teenagers and maybe still some little kids at home and college kids, people thinking about getting married, all of those things. And so I think that space of like 40 to 50, there's a lot of life going on at home. And how do we still keep connected to our friends and our community when we're in the thick of a lot of things with our families and our husbands and also ourselves? And so sort of using that as our jumping off point, I'd love to hear from each of you what community, what that word means to you. How do you find it? How do you create it? What does it look like when you move around a lot? What does it look like when maybe community has failed you? How do you put your trust back out there to build it again? That's where I'd like to start. So what does community look like? What does it mean to you? How do you find it? How do you create it? What do you do when it's failed you and you have to rebuild it?
Well, I'm on board with your idea of a common house, and we all just live around it and see each other as much or as little as we want to. I'm an extrovert, and one of the hardest things in my life was me and my brother and my sister and my parents all lived within 30 minutes of each other in Seattle. And Tony and I got married, we settled down, and I literally thought we were going to live happily ever after right there in Snohomish, Washington. And Tony had spent 7 years in Montana before we met, and he got a phone call one day with a job offer. He's like, babe, let's go to Bozeman. I'm like, that's ridiculous. We're going to be here forever. And God slowly but surely just made it really clear that we were supposed to come to Bozeman. And so, you know, my sister and I promised to raise our kids together. And that promise was going really well. Then we moved here February 2020. And I literally had zero friends. And if you know me, you know how much community and friendships mean. And I remember specifically being on a run one day, and I was listening to Emily P. Freeman, because she's my favorite person that I've never met. And something that she said triggered me, and I literally just stopped on the trail and I started bawling. And God whispered to me, he was like, Angela, am I not enough? Mm-hmm. And I knew I was supposed to say yes, but I also knew that all the community that I'd left in Seattle was my first priority. And looking back, I'm like, really, Lord, did you have to move me out of state to get me to the point where you and my family were my first priority again? And I think he kind of did. Like, I think that's how skewed my focus was on community first, mm-hmm. and then my husband and my family. Mm-hmm. And so it was literally one of the darkest points of my life, and yet also so strategic for my Savior to be like, Angela, like, that's not what I have for you. You're a little messed up right now, and you need to put your eyes back on me and Tony and your kids. And so it's been so kind of fascinating for me. So we've been here 5 years now, just to see how God has put different people into my life here. Whether it's for a short season, whether it's for a longer season, and I'm able to hold friendships a lot more open-handed now, but also to see the beauty when God does bring somebody that, like, is my sister, you know, like that I connect on this level that I don't have to work for. I don't have to, like, strive to connect or be deep. Like, it just happens. Because it's a gift from God. So it's just been so fun to be in this season where, gosh, it was real hard. And now I get to more live fully into the friendships that God is bringing. So mine's a little bit backwards because I do community really well, but I needed to flip-flop it because it was too well.
You really do. You really do community so well. You yes. are the amazing hostess with the mostest. I mean, fresh bread, fresh soups every week. The more the merrier. Invite a friend. Yeah, you do that very, very well, Angela. Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. What does it mean when you say holding friendships a little loosely? What does that mean?
It means that I want to reach out to all my people. And I really have to be like, Lord, is this what you have for me right now? Hmm. Is this something that is on my plate for today or for this week or this season or not? So I really have to just take it to Jesus and ask him. And he makes it really clear.
Yep.
I had a patient that we really connected on a heart level. I've been to her house and she just kind of fell to the wayside a little bit naturally and literally was in the same parking lot as me the other day. So like things like that, I'm like, okay, God, I'm pretty sure that was you saying, Angela, it's time to reconnect, you know? So I do have to remember, okay, God, just is this what you have for me for right now?
Like you don't have to keep up with everybody all the time.
No.
You can let some of those relationships weave in and out.
But yes.
Naturally.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is hard to do, I would imagine, for an extrovert who's like, people. I want all the people.
I want all the people. All the time.
What I love about, I'm just going to jump in for like moments at a time when I hear you guys talk. What I love about my friendship with you is we have decided there is a sixth love language called food. And I'm pretty sure that's not what Kevin Lehman had in mind when he has the five love languages. But Angela and I speak the food love language. And I love when you pop over to my house and there's like a batch of muffins and whatever it is. I appreciate those things because I'm an introvert and I'm sometimes like, I just need to stay at home today and I don't want to see people and go out. And sometimes you're like, I'll just take 10 minutes. I'm
how
just going to say hi.
Exactly.
Like exactly how, yeah. So you're good for me in that you encourage me to set some of that introversion aside mm-hmm. to say yes to people mm-hmm. in a way that doesn't feel like condemnation mm-hmm. for wanting to have some quiet space.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was really beautiful.
Yeah, it really was.
I feel like I could talk for a really long time about this, so I'll try to make it concise because there's a few different things. So I mentioned that we had moved a lot, and I will tell you that, one, I am an introvert. Like, Myers-Briggs test, 98%. Like, I really like people, but I definitely have, like, a wall, like, maybe even a cliff, like, that I just fall off and I'm done. Which sometimes I'm like, God, did you know what you were doing giving me five kids? Like, I don't really have a whole lot of time to myself. But building community can be kind of slow for mm-hmm. me, just because I don't have the felt need to be around people a lot, but I know that I need people. And so moving means that it's like, I'm like, okay, I have to be intentional and I need to like put some work in kind of. That sounds like not romanticized at all, but like I know for me, I'm like, it's worth it to put myself out there. But we've moved sometimes close to family, but sometimes in places where we don't know anybody. And there have been two times that we have really like finally gotten to a point where we're like, we've got our church. We've got either the school or the homeschool community that we want to have. Like, we've done both. We've got the dentists and doctors, which yeah. is not really what I would consider community, but it feels like home when you've got all the things figured out.
Yeah.
And then we've found out that we're moving again. And two of those times, I just felt really upset about it, like just angry. Like, I don't want to move again. And I have done Bible study fellowship for years. I'm not right now, but we were doing Life of Moses for one of them and Genesis, so Abraham, for the other one. And both of those people were used by God, but they didn't know what it was going to look like. God told them to leave, and they didn't know, like, how it was going to work out. But God said he would provide, and he did. And so, like, both, I felt like God was very kind to say, you are leaving this community and moving to a new community, and I will provide. And he has every time. And it hasn't looked the same. And it, I'm not saying it hasn't been, like, hard, but I just, God has really been kind to hold my hand along the way for that. For an introvert, it usually is helpful to have an extrovert. I'm glad you guys have found each other. or at least somebody who is willing to be the first one to reach out. I have a group of friends from college that we Marco Polo fairly regularly and pray for each other and just say, hey, I'm in the car. This is what's happening today, whatever. And that's been happening for more than 20 years. And, well, I guess whenever Marco Polo came, we had to, fair, like, text before that. But
WhatsApp.
Yeah, exactly. like, I would consider that a strong community.
Absolutely.
That I've had for a really long time. We do have one of the girls who's really faithful to, like, start it again if it's been a while. And I'm just thankful for that because I am the kind of person who will be like, oh, I guess I should jump back into that. So I'm thankful for the different people and the different personalities. And, like, I think that is a really important part of community is having, like, a group that you might not be like, oh, we're going to be exactly the same. because I don't think that's how God made us.
Well, and I'll say two things, because I think there are the people out there, and I can think of a few of them in my life who are the initiators. Mm-hmm. And I know that feels lonely to be the one who is always calling or always texting or always saying, how about we go do this? Or, hey, do you want to do this? And so for those out there who are that person, just know that we need you, because there's so many of us that will say yes if we're asked, but we might be in a place where we just don't have the capacity to do the asking. Mm-hmm. And so for those listening and those moms who are maybe feeling that burden, just know that we appreciate you and... Mm-hmm. That's a big need, those people that just throw it out there. And I'll say for you, Debbie, you are a yes person. Like if I call you up, hey, do you want to go for a quick walk? Or, you know, if we run into each other or we're having a conversation behind the garage or something, like you're very available. And I appreciate that about you, that you, even if you are maybe not the initiator, you will say yes. Like, you do lean into community really well. So this was probably 10 years ago when I had little kids, but we would take the kids for walks and take them for hikes. And I would always see these women who were probably 10 years older than me walking with their dogs. And I would think, oh, that's funny. They don't have their kids with them? Like, these two middle-aged women walking with their dogs. I guess that's what you do when you're in middle age, is you grab your dog and you go for a walk with your friend. And it was just it just seemed like such a long-distance thing that, mm-hmm. like, right now I've got kids on my backpack and I've mm-hmm. got another kid that, you know, is 40 feet up the trail and one 40 feet behind me. And when will I ever have time to go have a walk with a friend and a dog? And then you and I were... at the dog park one day, chatting away and talking and praying and just working through stuff and talking through the things. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, here we are.
We are those people now.
We are the middle-aged moms with our dogs.
I love it that you realize that. Like, wait, here I am.
We got there.
Light bulb moment.
We made it through babies and toddlers and little people on the trail, and now we get to go be adults.
I will say, kind of piggybacking on that, because I think that's an important point, like, community looks really different in different stages of motherhood.
Yep.
Because, like, you're doing play dates at your house so the kids can be on the floor for a while, and then you're, like, at the sports field or at dance class or whatever it is, and then you're walking your dog at the dog park with your friend
and
with no kids, but...
And by the way, there also is this age where you're like, oh, my knee hurts. And
what?
We're also now at that point where our backs don't hurt from hauling kids. Our knees hurt because we're 40-something.
So that leaves me. I think I would just start with that I grew up in California. I was born in Sacramento and then raised in Santa Barbara, raised, like, as a baby, lived at my grandparents' beach house, like, just in the sand and in the ocean. And then that is just what fills me up. I'm an ocean beach girl to my core. And as much as I love Montana, and I totally do, someday there's going to be a sailboat in my future. I just know it. I mean, if I have to refinish it, I will do the work. I mean, it doesn't have to be fancy. But that is definitely a dream of mine, to get back to the ocean. Mm. So having grown up there, my parents, they became believers when I was, I don't know, sixth grade or so. And so they sent me to a Christian school for junior high, and that was such a great thing. We got to go to Yosemite. We went to D.C., and I became a believer on our Yosemite trip in eighth grade. Maybe it was seventh, but anyway, I became a believer. And the community of teachers, the Calvary Chapel we went to, the community at large, like our neighbors, there was so much openness and love and, like, hugging and support and encouragement, and I don't know, it was just very happy, very, very upbeat, I would say. And people were open, like, people were just willing to share what was going on in their lives. So that is where I grew up. And I grew up in a family that talked all about the emotions, like, how does it make you feel? You know, very sensitive, very, very much trying to come against some family dysfunction of the past. So I was raised with just a lot of openness and love and empathy and good stuff. But when I was in high school, my dad decided to move our family from Santa Barbara, where I had just made varsity volleyball, and it was a big deal, and that was my community. My community was the girls I was playing sports with. I was in all the different sports, and those were my friends. My friends were the sports girls. And so when we moved to Montana, some business deals fell through for my dad. The veterinary practice he was supposed to work with didn't need him, and so we ended up having to move to a small town, which was unbelievably difficult. I had no community. We had no community. There weren't that many believers over there, and the church that we went to was so different. And so I went through a really dry and sad period where I was extremely depressed. I started having thyroid issues. My body was tanking. My spirit was tanking. I was even, you know, having really dark thoughts of suicide. Not that I was planning anything out, but just this despair that was taking over that I had never experienced before, because I was shy, pretty quiet, but, like, happy-go-lucky, and this was totally new to me, and I didn't feel like I could burden my parents with it because they were just barely hanging on. So that was a period of no community, really. And then my volleyball scholarship didn't come through at Santa Barbara, so—and then my offer at MSU for 4 years was reneged at the last minute. And so, again, like, that was another shut door. My community, my volleyball career ended abruptly. And another season of not really having much of a community at college and making some poor choices, I would say, because of a lack of support. But then I started going to Campus Crusade. And so that was like, you know, I flowed back into Christian community. God called me back into Christian community. Then I met my husband and we did a lot of small groups. And it was just, it was a real challenge for us to get deeply connected with people on the levels that we were seeking. We then moved to Austin, Texas for a couple years where we went to two different churches because we couldn't decide which one we liked more. And the communities at both churches were just absolutely incredible. Like, we just had like this overflow. And it was what we were seeking. People would see us at church and come up to us and be excited to tell us about what was going on in their lives. And they would say, let's go out to lunch afterward. And they would connect with us during the week. There was so much intention. And we realized that that was what we needed. We needed intentional friendships. During that time, we'd been trying to get pregnant. And I had a lot of failed pregnancies. One was an ectopic, and that was pretty rough, having to go through that and the injections and, you know, your body rejecting everything. And we were not feeling like we really had people we could talk to about it because all of the friends around us were having kids and getting pregnant with ease. And I was timing everything, eating well, doing all the stuff, had all my hormones checked. We went to the top fertility doctor at UCLA and just not good news for us. So when we moved to Austin and I became pregnant for the first time and it was lasting, we decided to move back to Bozeman because I had just come down with a toxic black mold exposure and my health was really bad, really, really bad. So we moved back to Bozeman and we were like, okay, we can do this. We can live in Montana. Hillary, you can make it if we find a church that has really solid community. So we came back. We started going to a church that was really wonderful, felt like it was amazing community. And so we were going there for a good while. And then after quite a few more losses, I got pregnant with our second daughter. And that was a really rough pregnancy. Both pregnancies had lots and lots of issues. And so the community part was hard for me because even though I felt like people were trying to understand, they just didn't know what to say. And the thing that kept coming back, like, over and over with these people that didn't understand how painful all of these losses were, was that they would say, are you doing better now? You know, after a couple weeks, a month maybe, are you better? And I know where they're coming from, and I understood their intention, but it was so hard for me because these losses were compounding, and it was becoming even more painful with each up and down of the loss. So then we had close to 20 miscarriages, and, you know, a lot of those were like at 3 and 4 months. And God really put on Justin's in my heart to try one more time. And it was just wild to me that we both like felt this at the same time. Our oldest and our youngest were at good ages. We were kind of getting some of their health issues figured out. I felt like we were just kind of getting things on track. And then God called us to get pregnant. And we did, and it felt like obedience. And we made it almost all the way through that pregnancy. We were a week away from full term, and things just changed like very quickly. There were three really difficult things that happened in our lives during that time. And then I think my body and William's health and everything just kind of shut down. And we ended up losing him just shortly after my husband's birthday. And And that is where the story of community, like, that's when I needed community the most, and I didn't feel like I had it because people didn't want to be around it for the most part. And there were literally a handful of, you know, a lot of friends that were still willing to be there and enter in and speak William's name and not be afraid or uncomfortable, or at least that wouldn't prevent them. And Kristen, you were the number one person in that. Hmm. You showed up and you held space for him and you reached out and you brought meals and you did everything that you could for me when you were one of maybe three people that held on. So I've had a rough time with friendships and community. And Debbie, like you, I can do it alone. I can do it alone for the most part. When things are okay and under control, I can do it alone. I have my people, my family and my couple of friends, my handful of strong friends, and these amazing animals that we have on our homestead. We've got the best animals. It feels like enough almost. But yeah, when you go through those really difficult times, having a solid community is imperative. We didn't really have that. And so God has filled in the gaps in so many ways. And he has showed up and he's done amazing and miraculous things. And he has been my community. He allowed me to hear his voice. He spoke to me. And he sang to me after William died. So I know him. I know my Savior. And I know that I can trust these handful of women that he has blessed me with. And I can tell you that each of them has been through really hard things. And honestly, those are the people that make the best community. The people who've been there and experienced the hardship and they're willing to trudge on with you through the muck. Those are the real gems. And each of you is just amazing. And Debbie and Angela, although I haven't known you as long, you are both incredible. And you are so good at holding space and living in that discomfort. And I think that's what I would just encourage the listeners toward, is being willing to step into other people's pain. That is the most beautiful thing that you can do in community, is don't shy away, don't look away, don't pretend that you don't see the person that is suffering. They need you, even if it's a smile, even if it's a pat on the back. It doesn't have to be much, but don't ignore them and don't turn away. Don't turn away. Because those little things go so far, you know, just the little acknowledgments are really all you need. That and God will supply all of the rest. But I just encourage people here, allow yourself to be soft. Allow yourself to be pliable in the hands of our Lord. Soften yourselves and step into the pain, because beautiful things happen there.
Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
And I think that the thing that I see on the other side of everything that you have walked through and everything that you've carried is that you are really good at stepping into the pain of other people and holding hope for them. And you aren't afraid of stepping into those hard places with people. And you are honest and you're vulnerable and you are real, and you are good at being this tension of tough and tender, which I think is a really sweet way to live life. You can handle it on your own so many times, but also you're good at saying, I can't do this by myself, which I think is a lesson for all of us, that we can, I call it like bootstrapping, like we can pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and get it done because we're women and we're Montanans and we're tough. And yet we still
need to lean into each other and onto each other and carry each other's burdens.
Yes. Well, thank you. I take that as a deep compliment, and I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And God gets all the glory for anything good that comes out of my life.
Totally.
For sure. For sure.
For all of us.
He's been very patient with me.
What does it look like to carry each other's burdens? Because I know we've all had our things that we've leaned on each other for, and, you know, some things are public and some things aren't, but what does it look like to do that well in friendship? And what does it look like, that idea of holding out hope and borrowing hope? What does it look like to do that as moms and friends?
I have a good story. I have a friend, and she lives similar to you. She kind of lives on my way home from the grocery store. So once in a while, I'll just stop by unannounced, or I'll give her 10 minutes. Are you home? I'm going to stop by. And so I don't think I had told her. I just knocked on her door, and I was going to spend like 30 minutes and then be on my way. Well, she was super low. Like, I have not ever seen her low. And what I thought would be like 30 minutes was probably 2 hours of her just getting it out and crying and just letting me see this really raw, tender, broken spot. And so however long it was, I ended up leaving. And then the next day I was on my way to work and I sent her Marco Polo. I think that's God's tool.
Communication.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes. Food and Marco Polo. And so I was like, I didn't get to pray for you before I left yesterday. And so I just sent her a prayer, and, or I prayed for her on Marco Polo. And I feel like God is so blessed by all of our prayers. And sometimes he really asks us to pray specifically. So when he answers, we know without a shadow of a doubt, he came through. This is him. And so I prayed a really specific prayer. I was like, by Friday, Lord, could you just allow this to happen? And my friend told me later, she was like, Angela, I was just rehearsing in my mind what I was going to have to tell you when Friday came and your prayer wasn't answered. She goes, but on Thursday, God answered your prayer. Hmm. And she's like, she was making up her story of disappointment that this God wasn't going to answer this prayer. And he did. And he answered it early. And it was like such a sweet, tangible way that I carried a burden with her. I had hope when she had no hope. And God came through with flying colors. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes he doesn't in the same way. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I just had a laugh at God's goodness and at how he worked in such an obvious way. He just orchestrated every single bit of that. And it was so cool.
I appreciate about you, Angela, that you have done that for me too, that you have, when God has put something on your heart to pray for, you have prayed on like voice text. So I've gotten to hear the prayer, and I just appreciate that it's, you're not just saying I'm praying, but you do it like right there in the moment when God asks you to.
Yep. And I think sometimes too, it looks like saying to that friend, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know why this is happening.
Yeah.
I don't know why things are not going the way they should be going. But I'm here with you, and I'm here when you need me, and you can send that Marco Polo or that text when you're desperate.
Yeah.
And I'm here, and just being available, mm-hmm. even just that is, I think, showing up and holding hope too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Regardless of how the end result lands.
Totally.
I think that God is often kind in, one, putting people together in the moment mm-hmm. that the need is there. And I think that the person carrying the hope for somebody else, it often doesn't feel like a burden. Like it's something that they walked through before. It's just either listening or telling their story, or it doesn't feel like a burden. Mm-mm. But it feels like a release of a burden for the other person. I've seen God, sometimes I've been obedient and sometimes I haven't. But there have been times that God has said, like, you know, write a note or pray or just make a phone call or whatever, make a dinner, whatever it is, where I'm like, I know. And it matters.
Yeah.
Because I've had it done for me too.
Yeah.
It matters in the moment. And he will often tell us when it should happen.
The thing that I go back to with this piece of our conversation is, and this has to do with friendship and community, is the verses that talk about how we are the body, right? And we all have a purpose and a usefulness to us. The hands and the feet and the eyeball and the nose and if you look at the body, there's a job that each part has that's unique. The whole doesn't function very well if each part and piece doesn't show up in their uniqueness, mm-hmm. with their giftings, with their flaws, mm-hmm. With their experiences, all of the things they bring to the table. Like if one of us is missing, our community doesn't function the right way. And so just the encouragement to the listeners that you might feel like you don't have much to offer. And we've all had those seasons where we don't feel like we have a lot to give. But even just being in the room, just your presence is needed with all the things you carry and all the things you bring with you. And so to not cut yourself off because you don't think you're valued or you're needed, but to lean into that because when you're gone, we miss you. Mm-hmm. And there's a big piece of community that's not there if we don't all mm-hmm. come together. What I love about this little collection of people, and I love that you all said yes, it makes me so happy, is that I've known Hillary for 20-some years now. I remember sitting behind you guys in church one Sunday and thinking, we didn't have a lot of friends. We were newlyweds. We had a lot of friends from college, but not a lot of, like, married people friends,
yes.
right? There were a few of us that stayed local. There were a few couples that we were still connected to. But a lot of people graduate and move on, and we stayed. And I remember sitting behind you in church thinking, we could be friends. They look like totally just looking at you saying, I think we could be friends with these people. And then we got to talk and we were friends and we did connect and enjoy each other. And then you guys moved away.
Just for a bit.
Just for a chunk. And we missed you and you were gone. Like, I think that's the piece that's important to say too. And then Debbie, I've known you now for like 6-7 years, something like that.
Yeah.
We taught our kids together. We were in those homeschool rooms together. And what I appreciate about you, what you're saying is slow. Like you're a slow and steady friendship relationship builder. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I are similar in that we're loyal. Like once those friendships are in place, and there's a deep loyalty there that will probably last far into the future when we might move away or you might move away or life will twist and turn. And then what I appreciate about you, Angela, is you are a good connector and you're a good inviter mm-hmm. and you are good at, like, let's get together and let's have a dinner party or let's have a Bible study or whatever.
Or a sleepover.
I was gonna say, or a sleepover.
Who does that in their 40s?
The kids are gone. The husband's gone. You want to come over?
And play a board game?
That was fun. That was fun.
Our sponsor this week is a new ministry called Refill, founded by Ashlyn and Ellie. Here they are to tell us more in their own words.
Hi, I'm Ashlyn.
Hi, I'm Ellie.
And we're excited to offer you a new ministry called Refill. Refill's a gathering of middle school and high school girls with college mentors to be renewed by God's word and then renewed by each other and just grow in community. My inspiration for this was Hebrews 10:25, spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and just grow deeper in relationship with God and others, and just be able to have a mentor and walk through your relationship with God with them.
Refill is a place to break away from the shallowness of this culture and go deep with God and others who love him. Why Refill? It's because I don't want anyone to discount their identity as a child of God with labels, success rate, or failure.
The reason we want to do Refill is to create an outlet for high school and middle school girls that are longing to know God and walk in the truth and to stand by each other during trials and know that they're not alone.
Thank you, Ashlyn and Ellie. Mark your calendars for their kickoff event, Picnic with a Purpose, on August 13. These gals are meeting through the summer, and they'd love to have your middle school and high school age daughters join them. To find out more, email refill@myyahoo.com. That's refill@myyahoo.com.
What's your encouragement or your wisdom to maybe a group of moms that think, or maybe a mom that's out there thinking, well, I could host a Bible study, or I could have a lunch, or I could invite that other neighbor mom over for coffee. Maybe it's host a play group with little people rolling around on the floor. What's your wisdom? What's your advice to a mom out there who is missing community and is maybe needing some friendships?
I would say just start really small. Like, do one thing that scares you a tiny bit and just be willing to do it scared.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Because if it's a small risk, you're probably going to recover just fine. If somebody says, no, actually, I don't want to go on a walk with you. Okay, well, that's weird and why not? But all right, I'll go find somebody else that wants to go on a walk with me, mm-hmm, or whatever. And also, hear me say, none of us expects or wants your house to be perfect.
Amen.
Thank you, Angela.
Because when I walk into somebody's imperfect house, it means I get to be imperfect too. And guess what? I am imperfect. So we can be friends in our imperfection. And
that's,
if somebody invites me over for coffee or a play date, I could care less what the house looks like.
Yeah.
And I think that so many times that hangs us up, and Satan uses it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we don't really care, as moms and humans, the imperfect state of each other's houses.
Totally.
So do something really small and shake off the piece about thinking you need to be perfect or your house needs to be perfect.
Totally. And I would say that I've been in, we'll just call it like, a quiet season. It's been more than a quiet season. Every winter becomes a quiet season for me, because my life gets smaller and smaller, mm-hmm, as the days get darker and colder. And I just try to get by and stay warm and put my microwave neck wraps in over and over all day long. But you were the first person that I felt comfortable reaching out to invite you over to take a nature walk with our dogs.
Yay!
Angela, you're the first person I reached out to, aww, in a long time. So your advice is spot on, and you're living proof of being that open person. You know, people feel open with you. And I've even reached out to you to ask you to pray, you know, when our friends' daughter passed, yeah, away recently, and I was telling you that it was really, I felt so horrible for her, and it was triggering. It was just like all this stuff, all my stuff was bubbling up around that too, with loss of babies. And who did I reach out to? You. Mm. And I hadn't even known you that long. I mean, God will connect us quickly. He really will, if we're willing to be open and honest and like you said, imperfect. Mm. Show up as our imperfect selves. It's actually really refreshing. Like, look what I'm wearing today. What the heck? Seriously. But this is how comfortable I felt. That's, you know, that's beautiful. I feel really comfortable.
I will say, too, with both of those instances, like when you invited me over, like for a walk, it didn't happen for quite a while. Yeah. There were a lot of texts back and forth. And even when you asked me to pray, I think I was at work or something, so I didn't get back to you right away. And then by the time we actually did talk, you were fine.
Yeah.
But we continued, we were persevering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or perseverant. Persistent.
Yes, we were persistent.
You know, it didn't just like ask and it happened.
Yeah.
Like we really had to be willing to do real life.
Yep.
And to keep checking in until it did happen.
Yeah. So if you want to pursue a relationship and a friendship with someone, if God's called you to this thing, don't give up on that person.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that I agree with what has been said. Like, it sometimes it's scary to, like, start that conversation or, like, just assume that the person with a an angry face is actually angry. Or, like, I don't know. Like, you don't know somebody and you assume a lot of things.
Yeah.
And who knows if they're true.
Well, and if their text doesn't have an emoji at the end.
Right. Or my husband doesn't understand why I use exclamation points. And it's because the women that I talk to will take it differently if I'm not using an exclamation point.
Now,
maybe Hillary could have said, Angela doesn't want to go on a walk with me because she didn't answer right away. And
totally.
Like, was that true? No.
Yeah. And that's a natural tendency for me anyway. And but I just felt like God, too, he showed me with your continuing to respond later. You know, like I kind of walked through that for a little bit, like, oh, gosh, it's been a while. Okay, well, she probably doesn't want to then, and that's okay. You know, I was preparing myself, oh, that's okay. I've been rejected a lot here in Montana. I feel different than everybody anyway, whatever. But you're continuing to follow up with someone who's sensitive. So I would just say if you're the more extroverted person and you see someone sensitive reaching out to you, it speaks volumes and who they see you to be. They see you as maybe stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have something that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Angela, you wield your strength really well, and you pull people up with you. So thanks for that.
Thanks, friend.
Yeah. I think a good place to start, too, is, like, what do you enjoy doing? And, like, usually you can tell, like, I would have a good rapport with this person or that person and, like, just make an effort. Ask if they want to go for a hike or if they want to bake bread together.
Go skiing.
Go skiing. Yeah. Like, there's so many ways to, like, build community and to make friends. And sometimes we introverts don't get to just sit back and wait for somebody. It takes much longer. Yeah. If you just sit back and wait.
It does.
It is much better to take those sometimes scary steps.
Yeah.
And then it actually doesn't seem as scary the next time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true.
What do you do when friendship gets hard? When it doesn't come easy, when there's a hurt, when there's a disconnect? How do you walk that road well?
I sent a text somewhat recently to a friend, and I just said, hey, I need some clarity about where we're at. And it ended up kind of ending the friendship.
Hmm.
Not obviously that text, but we had kind of grown apart, and I was really wanting to pursue a friendship, and she wasn't. And so I needed clarity, and I was really thankful that she gave me clarity. And I didn't understand it. I didn't like it, but I was so grateful for just a little bit of clarity. Mm-hmm. And we can still be really nice and cordial when we see each other, but also it was kind of clear.
Hmm.
Well, for now, for this season, it's not the same that it was. And that's okay.
That's awesome that you're accepting it for what it is and not begrudging. I don't see any, you know,
I had to pray through that. And I just, because I was mad.
Yeah.
And I think underneath the mad was the hurt.
Yeah.
Like, how can you not want this? Yeah. How can you not want me?
Yeah.
And I think that the more I took it to Jesus and I just asked God to bless her, because God made her. And so we're not in friendship in this season. That's okay. It's okay.
That's fantastic. And that's hard to do.
It was hard.
Don't you feel like so often the things that we need to do initially feel really hard? Maybe generally feel really hard. But then that opens up that clarity or the answers, or it just leads to something so much better versus living in ambiguity or holding on to negativity or resentment towards someone. You know, that's the worst. That's the worst feeling. And Kristen and I, we both have gone through Call to Obedience. And that was life-changing for me because I didn't realize how much I was holding on to, you know, the little things, little bitternesses here and there with little, you know, with people that I would see, or people who I felt like were leading a double life. Like on Instagram, I would see things and then I would see them at, you know, our kids' Christian school drop off. And I'm like, I know who you really are. And I'm so grateful that God brought Call to Obedience into my life when he did. That was totally him. And I was able to work through my own heart issues and my own sin in holding on to resentment. And so I would encourage any of you who are living with that and you feel like you've tried to let go of and dismiss those bitternesses, you've tried to give it to God, to look into Call to Obedience. It's really an incredible avenue, Holy Spirit-led, with a mentor, what would you call them? Like mm-hmm. someone to, you know, an older, wiser woman to guide you through it. It has changed my life and it has restored relationships that I would have, you know, 100% thought were, you know, done. So I've seen miracles happen.
It's a great program. I don't want to say program, but
yeah, it's
you
hard
could call
to
call it a program, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's been helpful for me with when things get hard with friendships or relationships is just to remember that there's seasons. Mm-hmm. And there might be seasons where a friend needs to, I need to let a friend go. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily like in a, like washing my hands, well, good luck to you kind of way. Yeah. But just in a, our paths were parallel and now our paths aren't. And you're doing something off to the side that's different, not bad, just we're called to different things for a time. And that doesn't mean that that friendship won't weave back in. Mm-hmm. But I think it's hard to realize that, like, oh, we're in a different season, we're in a different place, we're in different circumstances, and to not force it, mm-hmm. which is hard. It's hard to not say, but this has been so good and it needs to stay that way forever. No, there's seasons, and to let yourself weave in and out of things as you need to, and to let other people weave in and out, because we would want that grace if we, you know, have a season where maybe we're called to focus on our work or focus on our kids or focus on some things with our marriage that might take us away from time with those friends in that community.
Yeah.
And to know that there might be a space and a time for us to weave back in and to not be hard on ourselves and hard on our friends when those seasons come.
Yeah.
I think expectations and friendships are hard because we come into relationships with people just from very different places. Often expectations are different. So there can be hurt that's unintended maybe. And so as the person who often holds things with a pretty open hand, like, oh, if they are in a different season, that's totally fine. Like, I don't think a lot about how it might be, like, maybe we're not hanging out as much, but, like, that's not something that I think about a lot, but I know that some people do. I think someone who maybe is sensitive to that, like, I think, like, it should, there should be a conversation there. Like, I think that's healthy and good to, like, just be like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm thinking. And because, like, if you've got a friend that cares,
yeah,
that's going to be, they're going to have a positive response to that. And I think I'm more aware than I was, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, of how my, like, eyes fair approach to life can, like, can be hurtful. And so just being more aware of that kind of stuff. But on the other side of things, like, I've had a pretty painful friendship situation, and I wouldn't say it resolved exactly how I would have wanted it to. So I don't know if I have, like, the best example of, like, this is how you should walk through a really hard thing. But ultimately, like, to give to God what is his to carry. Mm-hmm.
Because this is a Mother's Day special, here's a question to kind of wrap us up, and then we'll get into our rapid fire. What do moms really want for Mother's Day?
I think it depends. For me, it depends on the year. So when I had littles, I was like, what the heck does Mother's Day look like when my family wants to celebrate me and I also need to celebrate my mom? Like, what the heck does that look like? So thankfully, we came up with what we thought was a brilliant solution when the kids were little. My husband would take the kids out of the house for like 6 or 8 hours. And I just got to be in my own space by myself. And it was so life-giving. Like, he'd take him to the science center or to, I don't even know. I don't even remember.
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter. And at like 6 hours, I was like, huh, it's been a long time.
Are and you were ready home? For them to come
I was
home.
Ready. I was ready because it'd been long enough.
Yeah.
And that was literally the best gift. I just needed to be in my space by myself. Mm-hmm. Now that they're 10 and 13, like, I don't really want them to leave.
Yeah.
But I want to do something that is life-giving to me. And so I don't even know what it is this year. But I also love that I can say, hey, guys, it's Mother's Day. This is what I want to do this year. I can change my mind.
Yep.
Or whatever. But those two things, oh, were the best.
Wow. That sounds great. I would say, in the season that I'm in currently, how about I just start with that? I just like feeling acknowledged and appreciated. That's the big thing.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, it's such an investment of time and energy and love, and it's just so much. I didn't know how much of me it would take to raise two daughters. Mm-hmm. And I look at people who have 5 kids or, you know, lots of kids. And I think, wow, that's incredible to me. And sometimes I even wrongly compare myself and I say, well, gosh, I have two, and I almost said only, but I have two. It's not only two, but mm-hmm. I have two amazing daughters. And God knew best. He knew that those two were my two and that was enough for me. And it is. They mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. They are enough. They are more than enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my two have needed a lot of help along the way. They've had a lot of mm-hmm. health challenges. There have been a lot of things along the way. And those things just seem to keep continuing. I don't know. God knows. And he's working in their hearts through all of these different things, different health things, different mind things. He is working in their hearts. And so I trust him for that. But I see that if I had had a whole lot of kids, I wouldn't have been able to pour so specifically into the two that I've been given. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so grateful. I'm seeing the fruits of that labor mm-hmm. because it is labor intensive. But I see the fruits of that labor, and I just give God all the glory, and I say thank you so much for knowing so much more than I ever did.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Hillary.
So wonderful. Mm-hmm. For a really long time, all I wanted for Mother's Day was a nap.
That's pretty simple.
We're in a different season now. Like, we have one who's 19. He's out of the house. One going to college next year. So I'm a little more tuned into, like, the fleeting nature of the moments.
Yeah.
And I'm much more willing to be like, come, I'll do work. I just want the time.
Yeah.
But we've had a tradition for the last few years. It took me a while to even say, like, what I really want
is to be left alone for a couple hours.
Oh my gosh, just say it. Yep.
But it was like, it felt like my daughter especially was sensitive to that. Like, she's like, you don't want to be with us on Mother's Day. And we've never gotten to the point where I'm like going away. Although if that works for you, I think that's great. But Nick has started to just get like stuff from Costco and bring it home for lunch. And then they all clean up and I go take a nap. And that has been really beautiful. Yep. Like, that's exactly. And then I wake up and I'm refreshed and then we'll, you know, maybe go for a bike ride or whatever it is. But like, that's just, that helps me feel like I can say what I wanted. And everybody was happy to give that to me. And I think it's been a nice tradition to have.
So. I love that. You get a little bit of both. You get everybody together.
Yes.
And you get to be alone.
Well, I love that we've all like talked about the simple pleasures. Like, they're really simple things. It's not a gift. It's not anything that can be bought. It's time and it's recognition and it's people loving us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would just say one other thing for me, homemade cards. Those are my love language.
The best.
The homemade cards. Yeah. Keep them coming, kids. Yeah. Those are the best.
I just found one in the drawer where one of the kids like drew literally like a picture of me, like a portrait.
I bet it was beautiful.
Cute. So great.
Oh, so great. I need to frame it or something.
Oh, that's the best.
My firstborn was the easiest baby, the easiest little person. I remember one time, I tell the story, we had gone out for lunch on Mother's Day. That's what I wanted to do because that's what I thought you did, right? Like, you go out for lunch on Mother's Day. And I just had the one kiddo at that point. And we were sitting at this restaurant. It was my husband and I. And then she was in the high chair and, you know, eating her little Cheerios or whatever. So really, we were having lunch and she was having like baby food or something. And I looked over to the table next to us and there was a man there who I assume was the dad with a handful of kids, like three or four kids maybe at the table. And I remember looking over there and they were younger, probably between 3 and 10, like little kids. And I remember thinking, oh, it's so sad they don't have a mom. Like, they're eating lunch by themselves. Flash forward 6 or 7 years, right? I've got 3 girls. I was not well at that season. I was pretty sick. And I remember thinking back on that moment, oh no, they had a mom. She was at home taking a bath.
Yep.
And so just going back to like, there's different seasons for things. There are seasons when all I've wanted to do was just go out and have lunch. And there's been seasons where all I wanted to do was sit in the backyard in my lawn chair with my book. Mm-hmm. There was one year where my mom was in town because of a ballet recital, and all I wanted to do was go have lunch with my mom. And we got our nails done, and we went and had lunch together. And so I think what's hard about being a mom is actually knowing what you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's been really hard for me. My birthday and Mother's Day are all in the same month, so I call this, like, Mom Month.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But it's hard sometimes to know, what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
And this year, as it turns out, it was the only weekend that was available for a friend and I to kind of go away. We were both tired. We were both working, and we had wanted to go do some kind of a trip together. That didn't really work out. And so we're going away just to a little local Airbnb for 2 nights, and we're going to go soak in the hot springs and eat yummy food and sleep. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be home on Sunday morning to go do all the Mother's Day things with our families. But
I think that's the hardest piece about being a mom sometimes is knowing, what do I need? What do I want? Being able to say maybe that that's the case. Like, I don't really know. I think I could use this. I think I could use this. Mm-hmm. So I love hearing that you know, these years where you get to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Have everybody gathered together. I feel like that's where I'm at. Like, college is looming. I can see how many years I have left with my older one. And then it's not very long that everybody else starts graduating and, you know, being adults. And it's all of that. I want to be with my people. I want to snuggle on the couch. I want to sit outside and read my book and just eat a meal together and enjoy who my kids are.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think, too, it's as we're getting older, maybe it's becoming easier for us to see that we need to take care of ourselves sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes for me, I have wanted my husband to be the one to see my needs, although they haven't been verbally expressed, and just, you know, have those things happen. That feels loving to me, but that sometimes we need to express our needs in order to take care of ourselves. Sometimes we need to ask for it. And, you know, I mean, sometimes our guys aren't going to notice that. They're stressed, probably. They've got a lot going on. And it doesn't mean that they don't love us, that they're not coming up with the full plan. Sometimes, you know, it's just, it is one more thing as a mom. It's one more thing to think about, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And sometimes that's what's required in order to take care of ourselves, because we do need to do that.
Mm-hmm. There's a phrase I've started to use, and I don't use it all the time, but when I do remember, I try to say, it would deeply bless me if I didn't have to do dishes on Mother's Day, or it would really bless me if I could just take a nap or be in the sunshine. Or they can't read our minds, our husbands or our kids, even though with girls, they're better at that. Figure out some options. And you might not get the perfect Mother's Day, but throw out some options to your family of things that might bless you and how they could help take care of you for that.
I like that. Instead of, I want this, like framing it differently really, I think, helps people receive it differently.
Yeah, it feels very gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered homeschooling your child but didn't know if you could do it? Or have you wanted your child to receive a Christian education but discovered it was too expensive? Emerge School in Bozeman offers an affordable, Christ-centered education where teachers partner with the parents. Exceptional Emerge teachers incorporate real-life applications, making education meaningful. Students are taught twice weekly in person, then complete the remaining assigned work at home, allowing them independence and flexibility to explore additional interests. There is limited space, so contact Emerge School now at emergemt.com to learn more. Also, Emerge has a few part-time teaching and paraprofessional positions in the elementary grades. Visit Emerge's website to apply. That's emergemt.com. Okay, we're rapidly approaching being way over our time, which is okay. So we could talk forever. We could talk about all the deep, good things. But I do want to end our time with a rapid fire. So this is going to be hard. You have to answer these questions with a sentence. That's your goal. And we'll just go in a circle. And I'll answer too. I never answer.
So I'm glad you're answering. Yeah, that's great.
All right. What are you reading right now?
Parenting book by Kevin Lehman for my 10-year-old.
What's it called?
Have a New Kid by Friday.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I just finished The Relentless Elimination of Hurry
Ooh,
by John Mark Comer. Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. Listening to the audiobook of Anxious Generation. And I'm reading Let Me Be a Woman by Elizabeth Elliot.
I'm reading too many books at a time. I'm reading Hattie Big Sky with my youngest, Five Children and It with the two younger girls. And I just picked up a book yesterday at the coffee shop, The Book of Courage by K.J. Ramsey, and it's got a foreword by Scott Erickson. So I saw both of their names.
Oh, wow.
And I had to scoop that book up. What's the first thing that you do in the morning?
Go pee, make coffee. I heard one of your guests say, go pee, wash my hands. I just make coffee.
I mean, same. I am a morning person, and I get up and do my God time also after the coffee.
I just didn't get that far.
I pee through the night, so I came able to get up and make my coffee, and then I go look for an animal to pet.
Oh. I've been thinking about this question because I keep asking people this question. I'm thinking, what do I do right away in the morning? I like to do the whole neck stretches, back stretches, because I wake up so stiff. What's the last thing you do at night?
Tell my husband and kids goodnight because I'm the first one in bed.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
I can't stay up late, so I just tell people goodnight.
I usually have a nice little nighttime conversation with my daughter who graduated and she's taking a gap year. And, yeah, try to kind of do a check-in with her because she's just started a cleaning business and she's in a season where she kind of needs some support. So do an evening check-in.
Oh, good. I think the very last thing I do is figure out what time I need to get up in the morning and set my alarm because it's different. It's different every day. What's saving the day right now? A life hack, a habit, a ritual?
That podcast you sent me on women's health, because I've never, ever lately been a breakfast person. And Stacey Sims said my cortisol levels need protein. So I'm experimenting with a little bit of protein even before my coffee.
Oh, wow.
We recently did a financial class, and we have started checking our finances daily. I have a little reminder that just has me look at our budget, and like it's just a real quick check-in, but it's been really helpful for both of us.
What was the question again?
What's saving the day right now?
Justin is saving the day in that he took away my Citi card and I now have a debit card. He's saving the day because, yeah, it just needed to happen. So he's saving us.
I love that you're saying that with a giggle.
It's been a few months now. It was rough. He just, like, he must have read a book or something while I was gone. Came back after a weekend, and my cards were out of the wallet. And everything was different. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, there's been no, like,
wallet?
Yeah, there's, like, no prep here. Like, you haven't, like, helped me to, like, learn this. And he's like, well, we just have to do it cold turkey because it's not working out. So here you go. And it's been so hard, but it is saving the day. Like, we need it. We need to do it. Like, yeah, between the thrift stores and Costco, like, I'm a bad girl. So he's doing what needs to be done. So he's saving the day.
Go team.
Go team. Yeah. Yeah. And I am laughing about it now. So I'm learning. And, you know.
Proud of you, Hillary.
You can learn at 45.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Love hurts sometimes.
It does. It does.
Good job.
Thank you.
I would say sunshine and green grass.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Just and snow in the mountains.
And snow in the mountains.
Beautiful.
I told you that. Did I tell you that the other day?
Yes.
It's my favorite time. Well, there's two favorite times of year. And I realize I'm breaking my own rules. I'm not answering very fast. I love when there's green grass and snow in the mountains. And I love it when the wheat fields are like butter yellow and the mountains are purple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the end of summer. Okay. What is your favorite time of day?
Morning. Quiet.
Mm. Morning, because it's quiet. Angela can just answer for both of us for these, apparently.
Yeah. Morning, because it's light. The light is so important. I really need a lot of light. And the quiet, too.
And I can think.
Yeah.
Same for me. Morning, because it's quiet and the light is just coming in.
Yeah.
Describe an ordinary, everyday moment that brings you joy.
When I wake my son up, both kids, he'll go feed the dog, and then he comes in and gives me a hug.
Aww.
I mean, recently, just any time I walk into the sunlight, but our middle child is just special about the way he interacts with me. And my favorite saying that he has recently is, "Mom, you're really rad."
Aww. That's the best.
That's so good.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, my oldest is an old soul. She's amazing. She's just like a gift to this world. And she carries a lot of burdens for me and for other people. And she makes me feel more valued than any person. And sometimes that's just what I need.
Mm-hmm. I would say anytime one of my girls comes in for a hug.
Mm-hmm.
All right, friends. What else? Anything we forgot to talk about? Any last words?
I just want to say I'm currently, like today, I'm going to go home and make a grad board for my son, our second one who's graduating in 2 years. Like, we had one last year, we have one this year, it's going super fast. And I, like, we had 3 in 3 years. Like, so there were, like, those days in those early times where I was like, these, and this is totally cliche, but it's really, really, like, it's hitting me right now. Like, where I was just like, these days are seriously never going to end. Like, watching the clock, why is my husband not home in those early days? Like, I just, like, I don't know if I have enough energy to make it to the end of the day. Like, it's very real. Like, the need, the energy required, like, the just, it's wonderful to be a mom. And it's also, like, it takes all of us. And I just, but, like, I'm in this moment right now. I'm about to go home and just, like, bawl my eyes out probably. Because it's just, it's, you look back at all those pictures and you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, this moment in time is about to end.
Yeah.
And you're going to go do amazing things. But, yeah, it's real.
Yeah.
It goes by so fast.
Yeah. And all of the older people that would talk to us when we had young children, and they would say it goes by so fast. And
I'm just one of those people now.
Yeah, I know. It's wild.
The days are long, but the years are short.
Oh, yes.
So
true. It really is so true.
And to all the little moms, moms of littles, not little moms, to all the moms of littles.
I like the gesture, too, a little.
Like, hang in there, because I know you are tired. I know that you are weary, like, talking about the baby with colic. Like, I can see you bouncing on the ball at 10 o'clock at night because your baby is sad and crying and fussy and you just can't do anything about it. And I see the mom who's got health stuff with her kids and all of those little, the big problems of the little years. Like, you are tired. Find your friends, find your people, lean on your friends, lean on your people, lean into community. You have our permission as older moms to show up to your small group with a bag of salad and a rotisserie chicken from Costco.
Yes.
That's right.
And to open your door and to let people in and fold laundry together.
Mm-hmm.
or clean your house together.
Yeah.
And for those older moms, may we be those moms that offer encouragement to the little years, mm-hmm. right? That it does go by fast. Enjoy. I hope you enjoy your kids. That's, I think, where I land with a lot of these podcasts, is that we would just enjoy our kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are our community.
Yeah.
They are our people.
Yeah.
And to
yes.
enjoy who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of parenting is like, okay, what behavior do I need to work on, or what mm-hmm. struggle is there right now? And mm-hmm. sometimes I think we just need to set some of the work aside. And if I think of little kids, like, sit and play with your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as big kids too now.
It's fun to see the relationship change. Like, it's like you're saying, like, I feel like I spent a lot of time being almost not myself because I'm, like, responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really fun to have more real conversations with my children the older that they get.
Yeah.
And I can, like, be me
mm-hmm.
instead of, like, mom.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it could have started earlier even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. And I think that for me, too, realizing that I don't have to nail it in every area. I don't have to teach them every single thing. They don't have to be in every single sport, piano, singing. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do all the stuff. I don't have to prepare them mm-hmm. for every single thing. That sometimes being present is so much more powerful mm-hmm. than another lesson or another mm-hmm. thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, this eye contact, this, you know, hearing what mm-hmm. is going on in their lives. And God will lead them and He will teach them so many things. We don't need to worry nearly as much about doing everything perfectly, because He's going to take them on a road that is not ours to choose.
And just like you said earlier, God fills in the gaps.
Mm-hmm. He sure does. Yeah.
I came across a quote this week that said, there's no one way to be a perfect mom, but there's countless ways to be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay, friends. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you to Michelle, who lets us use her office to record. And happy Mother's Day to all
happy
of
Mother's
you.
Day.
Happy Mother's Day. We love you.
A huge thank you to my guests for taking time out of their busy lives to sit for a conversation with me. It's a delight, joy, and privilege to have you join me. The Mostly Mom podcast is a production from Ordinary Everyday Studio. Find us on Instagram and online at ordinaryeveryday.studio. Audio and editing by Logan Tomorrow. Thanks for listening.